How's it going, everybody? Andrew Zarian here, Wrestling Observer Live. We're here every day, Monday through Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. on Saturdays with Jim Valley, and Sundays with me. Happy Sunday, everybody. Big fallout last night, Survivor Series. You know, historically, one of my favorite shows. You know, that Thanksgiving tradition line that they kind of embedded in us. For the older fans, it really was a big pay-per-view, because you got to see, you know, the concept of it is so forgotten about and simple by today's standards, right? Like, oh, you get five guys and then they face off against another five, and you see these matches that you wouldn't see, and you see people tag that you wouldn't see tag. It was a very unique concept, but we see everything in pro wrestling now. What is Survivor Series? It's War Games. And you know what? It works every year. And that main event this year, the Bloodline Saga. Fantastic. I really enjoyed it. Now, there was some stuff on the show that I did not enjoy. And that's most of the women's War Game match. We'll talk about that, obviously, today. But a lot coming out of this. Women's War Game match continues the Liv and Rhea feud. CM Punk, Roman Reigns, Paul Heyman, that's the next story. Io Sky with another insane moment in a War Games match. She quite possibly could be the best War Games performer in WWE. We'll talk about it. New U.S. champion, a lot of people surprised. Also, AEW Collision went on afternoon at 4 p.m., which was fantastic. I got home from the Rangers game, and there was wrestling on. It's fantastic. And we have an updated list of the standings for the Continental Classic and a few other things today. A lot to talk about here on the show. Give me your input. Hit me up on X. Andrew Zarian, Wrestling Observer Live on Sports Byline. Stay tuned. We'll be back. Wrestling Observer Live here on Sports Byline. Survivor Series yesterday. I had a very busy day. I took my son to the Rangers game. We're at the Garden. Nice 1 o'clock start. We got home like 4:30. Collision is on. I watch a little Collision. The show started 6 p.m. Survivor Series. 6 p.m. Starfighter pay-per-view. You know, yesterday in my group chat of all my producers and everybody that I do wrestling with, we were talking about this and the pros and the cons of a 6 p.m. start. And I got to tell you, the pros outweigh the cons tremendously. This was a 3 p.m. show in Vancouver. The building was sold out. 17,000, I think, 200 people in the building. I don't know what Michael Cole announced. I'm going based on Russell Ticks. Building looked great. They had no stage. The crowd was strange throughout the night, and they suffered the same problem early on that AEW did last week for their pay-per-view. Just very quiet for things that they shouldn't be. And you saw it in that Women's War Games match. It wasn't until like the 20-something mark that they kind of came alive. But very interesting time to do a show. And I said something to my producer here, MG. And what did I say yesterday? I said something along the lines of, you know, when you have these long pay-per-views and you have so much happening, you're able to kind of hide the mediocre wrestling or the mediocre segments when you start at 6 o'clock versus 8 o'clock. I'm far more forgiving of a bad match or a mediocre pay-per-view if it's not ending at midnight. Not to say this was mediocre, not to say that, you know, Full Gear was mediocre at all. I thought that was a fantastic show. But would I feel better about the show if it ends at 9:30 in the evening rather, or 10 o'clock in the evening rather than 12, 11:45? I think that's something to really consider. This is a nice little experiment that WWE is doing. I hope it continues. I hope they continue a 6 p.m. start on a Saturday, because they already got your money. It's not about pay-per-view buys. You can watch this at any time throughout the evening, and the next day I'm probably going to put this on. My kids missed the end of the main event, so I'm going to put it on again. Something to think about. Survivor Series started with the Women's War Games match. Rhea Ripley, Bianca Belair, Io Sky, Naomi, and Bayley defeated Liv Morgan, Nia Jax, Tiffany Stratton, Raquel Rodriguez, and Candice LeRae. Bayley and Nia started it. They were even for the first 5 minutes. Naomi entered with a kendo stick. So the baby faces had the advantage here, which I'm never a fan of. Throws off the whole dynamic.
They've been doing this.
They did this last year too.
One of the matches has the babyface team, and the other has the heel team as the.
It's a coin flip
advantage. Yeah.
All right. I did not love this match. I did not love this match for a number of reasons, but there were so many things in here that just didn't look great, and then there were things that looked fantastic. Candice LeRae, by the way, was a fourth. Cut in front of Tiffany for this. So already they're showing something going on there. Bianca Belair was
setting up
next.
They're setting up the cash-in is what they're setting
well,
up.
Well, she attempted it again. She attempted the cash-in again, and it went nowhere.
Yeah, that's down the notes.
I was hoping she would cash in and totally derail that match at the end. What happens then, right? It's the War Games match. Right. The War Games match starts. They ring the bell. She then tries to cash in. Does it become a multi-person match for the title? Do you have two separate matches happening at the same time?
That was what they were trying to... I mean, they said that on commentary. What happens now? How's this work? They were trying to figure it out on the fly.
I would have loved for them to do it. I would have loved for them to do it because you would have gotten some unique surprise that you did not get on the show. There was no big unveiling at the end, which we'll talk about. Bianca would come in. She brought in a kendo stick and a fire extinguisher. Stratton smashed Bianca over the head with the trash lid. Did you see the worst chair shots possibly done by Nia Jax?
Yes, she's not good.
She went to do a chair shot, but I think she forgot that you can't hit someone in the head. And I think it was Naomi, like, she put her hands up to protect it. And then she just, like, doinked her in the back.
She must have been in the back practicing with Tongaloa, who I'll get you later.
I know the spot he got hurt in. Tonga got hurt in that match. And everybody seemed to have missed it. Io Sky would come out. She came out with her own custom trash can. She climbed to the top. She did a ridiculous spot from that top. At the same time as Tiffany, what did Tiffany do? Like a swanton?
Yeah, she did a swanton, just a full-out swanton. And it looked good, but the way the camera caught it.
The camera caught it.
They kind of messed it up.
The camera was at a wide shot when they were both up there. And I was like, oh, this is the shot they're going to use. No, and then they cut to an angled, and they missed like half of it for both.
Yeah, right. And I believe in the replay they fixed it.
The replay, yeah, was fixed. Rodriguez would enter next. Then Rhea. Rhea had a gnarly mask on. Very cool. Looks like the new lead singer of GWAR. Rhea and the babyfaces had the advantage here. Liv would run back. Pretty much the match officially started at the 27-minute mark, and that's when the match got pretty good. I enjoyed this part. Leading up to this was a whole lot of stuff, just filler. And the match ended with a riptide off the top turnbuckle through a table. And that was it. I don't think this ends that feud, obviously. We're still continuing the Liv Morgan and Rhea Ripley stuff. They tease the cash-in again. EO again came off really well. But it didn't do it for me. I don't know why. I mean, no knock at the performers. I think they were fine.
Well, I think the wrestling was awesome.
The wrestling was fine, and it didn't get... I just couldn't get into it.
Right, and you couldn't get into it because they told the story so fast.
A lot was happening.
The reasoning of why these people were in the match.
And the crowd also was quiet in the beginning. I mean, it picked up again later on when EO was doing these spots and, you know, a lot of the crazy stuff is happening. Obviously, they woke up, but I didn't love this one. And I normally really enjoy all the War Games matches.
I was trying to figure out why how Liv kept handcuffs in her bra that entire time in the cage. It feels,
I mean, I can't imagine that was very comfortable for her. I can't imagine.
We pulled after those out. I was like, okay, this is unique.
And, yeah.
And I like how they use them.
Yeah. So after this, we got a very big surprise. Shinsuke Nakamura, LA Knight. Shinsuke looked good. I enjoyed this match. It was a short match. They went about 9.5 minutes, 9 minutes, 43 seconds. The story here was that LA Knight is off. There's something going on. And I don't know if they're covering for slips or he's just a tremendous pro wrestler and he's able to kind of keep messing up these moments like that spot where he does the running on the second rope. You know, he comes
on the turnbuckle
up
where he
on
slipped.
The turnbuckle yeah, where he slipped. He slipped again.
He slipped a couple of times. Yeah.
Yeah. So, and they were bringing it up on commentary. So let's see if this continues with the storyline. But Shinsuke Nakamura is a new U.S. champion. And he's back. You know what? I'm thrilled. How do you have a guy like that on ice? Shinsuke is one of the greatest mysteries to me. And it shows you that in that era, when they were still firing on you know, all cylinders in, like, 2016 when things were happening, they still made vital mistakes because of who was running that company. When we come back, I want to pick it up where we are. Wrestling Observer Live here on Sports Byline. Stay tuned. Wrestling Observer Live here on Sports Byline. Let's pick it up where we were before the break. MG, my producer, what do you think of Shinsuke in this new version of him?
This is the closest I think we got to the Japan Shinsuke in many ways. Just darker. I like he's tapping into that more sinister side. And although it's not the same Shinsuke that was in New Japan when he was like the king.
No, but you know what? This is the Shinsuke that we got when he came and he faced off against Sami Zayn.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is what we got. I liked it. He looked great. I think this work, whatever they're doing with LA Knight, maybe it's time for a turn, maybe take him off TV for a little bit. There is a lot of conversation that he's gotten cold. He's another one. 2 years ago, that moment happened at that December show where people were going nuts for him and they picked up on it. Was it the March show? I can't remember. When did they do?
I just feel like he's the act is tired to me now, to me, but it still gets over in the building, mm-hmm. you know? And I remember being at SummerSlam in Detroit and when he won that battle royal, and man, he was the most over guy on that show.
And that was not too long ago. That was a year ago.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah. It's amazing, right? How wrestling, everything changes so quickly. Triple threat match, Braun Breaker, Sheamus and Ludwig Kaiser. IC title. This was fascinating. Braun is a beast. What a freak of nature. He did. Did you see that? I've never seen someone do a high spot off the ground. This man,
yes, he just
jumped.
He does.
Mm-hmm. It was a jump shoulder tackle. And he must have gotten 50 feet in the air. He flew. I mean, that Steiner genetic is unbelievable. I thought this was a great display for him more than anything else.
Take this a step further. Take this to a broader approach. Bring in all these NIL athletes like him and others.
Yeah.
Think of the spots we will get in the future with some of these uber athletes.
And guess what?
I mean,
this guy's
only
not
the beginning.
And he's not doing anything crazy, right?
Nope.
It's just confidence in delivering, and it looks great.
Yep.
He's always been the guy. I mean, since he went into developmental, you knew that there's something extremely special about this guy. And he's very young, and he's still not there. He's maybe 75%, that's not an insult. I'm not saying it in an insulting way. I'm saying it's amazing, right? Because if things work the way they're supposed to, this guy will be the big next star. There's no question about it.
We're gonna get that ultimate spear off at some point between him and Roman. Don't know.
And they merge into one guy. They turn into Scott Steiner with long hair.
Oh dear God.
Like long.
Why do you put these things in the world? Why do you do this?
We got another match after this. Very hard-hitting match. Gunther and Damian Priest. This one, 19 minutes. The story here was they beat the crap out of each other. And
oh, did they ever.
You know, Gunther's great. Damian's fantastic. The story, they had a run-in ending. Finn Balor, he hit Damian with a coup de grace on the outside. This cost the match. You know, I think this was fine. I don't know where you go. I mean, obviously, Damian's going to feud now with Finn. That's the story here. That'll continue us over the next few months. But what does this mean for Gunther? Right? Who's his program with? Who's the guy? Is it going to be Seth? I don't know.
Is it going to be Seth or is it going to be Finn Balor, who got involved in this match?
Mm-mm. No, because Balor and Damian are going to be the ones. That's the program. So Gunther really doesn't have...
Gunther went after Balor, so I don't know. You're right.
Gunther did go after Balor, yeah. So I don't know. Maybe they'll have a match, but I think the story is going to be Damian Priest and Finn Balor, but this leaves a lot of questions.
Which is good. And, you know, we got, 8 weeks until Royal Rumble? So we got time to work through this.
Yeah, we got plenty of time to work through this. I want to see where this falls, because if you really look at it, the story of this show obviously was War Games, right? That's the story. Think about how the world titles are so secondary compared to that mega storyline that we're getting. It's rare for that to happen. Cody wasn't on the show. And I know you're going to say he wasn't needed, but it's the world champion. And he's not on your pay-per-view? He's not defending that title? You're telling me that Shinsuke Nakamura and LA Knight was more important to get on a pay-per-view than to have your world heavyweight champion, your flagship on the show? Listen, I understand. I understand what they did, but I'm looking at it as a layman. I'm tuning into Survivor Series. My world champion is not on there because it's not the emphasis of the show was the bloodline. Fascinating when that happens. It's not too often. You have Kevin Owens and Cody at Saturday Night's main event. That's the story. That's his world title match.
Yep.
In 16 days.
And I believe we'll get EO and Liv at that show too. And then the women's United States title final. So that's what they got for that so far.
And that looks like a great show from the Nassau Coliseum. Which I'm not going to this year. I will not be there.
You're going to a lot of wrestling shows, though.
Dude, I'm doing the house show. I'm doing the garden house show, and I'm doing all the AEW shows at the Hammerstein across the street, which is my favorite building. Fascinating. Main event. We're not going to be able to finish it during this segment, but I want to go into it. The men's War Games match. Roman Reigns, Sami Zayn, Jey Uso, Jimmy Uso, CM Punk. Against Solo Sikoa, Jacob Fatu, Tama Tonga, Tonga Loa, Bronson Reed. This went 41 and a half, almost 42 minutes. To jump backwards here, on SmackDown, they did a face-to-face, a cinematic face-to-face between CM Punk and Roman Reigns. I generally am a fan of the cinematic segments that they do. I was not for this one. It kind of removes the realism from it. My opinion. You may love it. Punk says that he wasn't doing War Games for him. He was doing it for Paul. to get revenge on the guys that took him out. He also alluded to the favor he wanted from Haman in return for the participation. Now, this is the big story here, is what is that favor Punk has? What do you think it's going to be?
I think it's going to end up being a match with Roman.
But for what? For a title? For a title?
I don't know. I don't know. I mean, maybe he's going to pocket it until Roman has a title again. I don't know.
I don't know either. But it is the thing that's looming over this, the dark cloud that's looming over this. Did you like the cinematic segment?
I liked it. I didn't like it as much as the one they did at Georgia Tech Stadium.
No, the Georgia Tech one was great. But again, you know what that was? That was announced. It was presented larger, right?
Bigger. You had the car show up.
Mm-hmm. They were on the campus. There was a story there with Roman and Cody. That was a little bit different than this.
You know what I liked about this one? I liked that when Paul got, they got onto Paul, they shot on Paul, and Paul goes, "Now, Punk, you got to do your part, because if you don't, they're coming for you." He made it clear that, you know, there would be no protection if they lost this match, and the bloodline would come for him. So I like that he went both ways with it and tried to explain to each guy what the cost would be. So
yeah,
I like Heyman's
the message was fine. It took me out a little bit. But again, they're experimenting, right? We're going into the Netflix era of this, of WWE, and we're gonna get a lot more higher level content created like this. This is the future of WWE. They're blending everything in. It's not just pro wrestling, it's not sports, it's theatrics, it's television, it's film. You know, they have a very unique perspective of how pro wrestling should be going. And I have to tell you, they did a great job on this show, and this match was a story. They told a tremendous story with what they were doing here. Now, at this point, it's early in the night, right? It's very early.
It was like
8:30. Yeah. So you're talking, you know, you know they're giving this time. And a lot of people are thinking, what's going to happen during the match? What's going to happen after the match? We got CM Punk last year. The bar is set very high. There's only one or two CM Punks out there that you could do. You know, could John Cena have showed up? Could they have done something? Sure. I 100% think they could have done something. But they didn't. The match ended with no big reveal or unveiling. I want to take time when we come back and break this match down, because there was a tremendous amount of story that was being told by everything that they did. When we come back, we're going to talk about this and a whole lot more. Wrestling Observer Live here on Sports Byline. Stay tuned. Wrestling Observer Live here on Sports Byline. Let's talk about the main event of War Games. They did a good job with the entrances. And they placed everybody in a weird way, right? Like, you would imagine Roman obviously comes out last. CM Punk comes out before him, you know, Jay before him. But they didn't do that. Jimmy comes out, Sami Zayn comes out, then CM Punk comes out, then Roman comes out, and Jey Uso gets the big main event entrance. Came through the crowd, they ate it up, they loved everything he was doing. Yeah.
Those wide shots of him,
With the yeet?
Doing his yeet dance.
Yeah.
That crowd, they were so into it, and that's grown into something.
No, of course. Really cool. No, Jay's really, I mean, he's gotten over. It's Tama Tonga and Jay started the match. Tama Tonga was crawling on the cage. You know what it was almost like in Super Mario 3, right? You know when Mario has to climb in that castle and go on the mesh? Mm. That's exactly what it was. He's out of his mind.
I was getting Spider-Man vibes.
Yeah, he was great. They started it. Jay got through. They wasted a lot of time on the lockups here. They were stalling, obviously.
Like
Bronson
3 minutes.
Reed would enter next.
Like 3 minutes of it.
Yeah, three of the five they wasted. Bronson Reed would enter next, and he would bring a bunch of chairs. Jimmy entered next, wiped out both the heels on his own, so he's helping his brother to his feet. The Usos work together. Old school. Here comes Jacob Fatu. Jacob looks incredible, by the way.
And they put it over on commentary how good he is.
Yep, Jacob Fatu.
I don't know where they're going with him. You know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of how they used to present Ming or Haku in WCW. They never gave him a title, but they always said, "You don't want to mess with this man." That's what I'm getting the vibes of.
I think he's working out very well. I don't want anything bad. Like, the guy is. There's something. I mean, we've all known that he's, like, really good, right? Like, everybody's known this for years. And you get worried on how that'll translate to a big picture, you know, situation. He did a great interview. He said, he goes, you know, he has, like, how many kids does he have? Like, an infinite amount of kids. He has several kids. Mm-hmm. You know, he was a bad boy for many years. And he has a story where he talks about how he was in jail. And he was contemplating, like, his life's decisions. And his cousins show up on TV. And it's SmackDown on the TV when he's in jail. And he sees his cousins that are millionaires and celebrities on television. And he's like, yeah, I got to do something. And he did. And look, he's there. I love a story like that. Change your life. Tremendous. He's out there. Sami Zayn comes out. Tangaloa is also in the ring. Something happened to Tangaloa in this match. He did get hurt. There was a spot that Jimmy went up for a splash, and he landed, his knees landed on Tangaloa's arm. And after that, he was not moving. He was just throwing rights. He was not using his left arm at all. I don't know how bad that was. We also got a couple injuries, right? Who broke his foot? His toe, Jay or Jimmy?
I think it was Jimmy.
Jimmy broke a toe.
One of them did.
And Bronson Reed sprained his ankles.
Yeah, they were evaluating him after that splash, which we'll get to in a second.
So the story in the cage was how much CM Punk and Roman don't like each other. Punk was going to go out. Roman blocked him, nodded to Zayn to enter. Punk staring a hole through Roman. Then Tonga came out, like we said. Punk teased that he wouldn't get in the ring, but instead, so there was a great spot. Punk was going to let Roman go out, and he cut in front of him, and he went out there, and he grabbed the toolbox. The same one that he used to bust open Drew McIntyre. He used all the weapons on the heels. Solo now enters. Fatu gave Jimmy, this was pretty cool. The moonsault that he hit. And Reed gave the tsunami to Zayn. I hope Bronson Reed stays with them. I like this. I know it's not the right brand, but why not?
Can be loosely affiliated. If we need you, hey, we can call on you type thing.
I want them to do something like that. Punk tried to fight back, but he was swarmed. Solo brought his own chair into the ring. And he locked the door so Roman couldn't get in it. Couldn't get in. And the commentary is telling the story that Roman Reigns can't do anything here. He can't climb this. He climbed that freaking thing. He got in there. There was no problem. Roman hit a beautiful crossbody off the ropes.
That was amazing. By the way, did you notice how lean down he was?
He was very much leaned down. Yeah. He looked great. He looked good.
He did look good.
You know, it's not WrestleMania season yet. He puts on the size when Dwayne returns. they stalled the start of the match until they couldn't open the case, get the ref in. So then it started.
That was odd
in my notes.
Because normally,
they set up a West Side Story face-off. One of those.
They did.
Yeah.
No, but so that was weird to me. I don't know if you caught it. Normally when the last person hits the ground in the match, they ring the bell.
Yeah,
they didn't
do that.
Because get bolt cutters and cut the chain off so they can get the refs in the ring is what I think happened.
Yeah.
So because commentary was stalling. Then all of a sudden they made the announcement the War Games match was starting.
Heyman would come out also at one point. So the story at this point is the tension between Roman and Punk. Roman hit a spear on Punk by mistake. Punk saved Roman when Bronson went to go do his
that was the big come together moment is when Punk pulled him off that table.
Heyman starts, you know, before this, Heyman is screaming, it's war games, you know, on the outside, like everybody worked together. That big spot was great where Bronson Reed goes to hit his splash. Punk pulled Roman out at the last second. And the impact of the tsunami, Punk was like destroyed, but Roman stood right up. And that was pretty much the end of the match. They hit their finishes. Roman
then you had the moment. You had the moment, and I didn't put these in the notes, where Sammy and the Usos went around and picked everybody up one at a time.
Yeah.
And it was earlier in the match, Roman picked up everybody but Punk, but they made sure that they picked up Punk this time. And that was a big part of the match, too.
So here's where the criticism happened for them. A lot of people thought something was happening at the end where Dwayne would show up.
I did, too. That's what I thought.
There was no unveil. There was no big surprise. It ended with them celebrating on the ramp. But it went on for so long, the post-match celebration. They did their pose in the ring. They made their way out. Roman and Punk shook hands. Punk did go to Heyman and say, I'm going to cash in this favor. It's going to happen. Mm-hmm. And Heyman goes, absolutely, whatever you want. I'm very intrigued. I want to see where they go. It was a big deal. And the show ended. No Dwayne. And I think there's a story here. Something. There's something here. I don't know what it is. You know, Dave Meltzer alluded to something on Twitter, on X, about if people knew the story, they would lose their minds as to why Dwayne showed up a couple weeks ago, why they didn't do it this time. There's something there. I don't know exactly.
He's going to side with the side we don't expect him to side with, I think.
What side is that, Roman?
Or his own side, or he's going to make... I don't know. But yeah.
Triple H in the press conference. Survivor Series was sold out at 17,828. Russell ticks at it a little bit lower, but whatever. It was a WWE's 63rd sellout of the year. It also broke the all-time arena gate record in North America.
Because I think that's a given every time now.
Every time it's the biggest sellout, yeah. Bronson Reed was getting looked over for following the missed splash off the cage. One of the questions regarding Elimination Chamber being a stadium show for the second year in a row, Triple H said that the idea wasn't necessarily about Elimination Chamber, but it was about making WrestleMania season bigger than ever. The final question was aimed at the WWE ID program. Triple H compared it to the WWE NIL deal, where wrestlers on the independents. Somebody said that the number is like 40,000 a year those guys are going to get. I don't know if that's accurate or not. I just saw it on X, and it was somebody that generally is reputable. Interesting.
That's just from the WWE. That's not from taking appearance fees. So they will get theirs.
Yeah, so WWE NIL deal, it's giving them financial security. It's helping them in terms of education, guiding them on how they could progress. As long as they continue to progress, Triple H said that they'll stay with them. He also teased future content plans with WWE ID talent. Interesting. He said this is to strengthen the independent scene. All right.
I'm sure that can be debated by many people, but
I'm sure that can be debated. You know, the big story now is the fallout from this, because next month, the big show that they have, there is no December pay-per-view.
But there's Saturday night's main event.
There's Saturday night's main event.
Followed by January 6th, Raw on Netflix, which is going to be pay-per-view pretty much, right?
That show is going to be really big. You know, for them not to put on a pay-per-view in January either, right? There's no pay-per-view.
No, because it's February 1st.
Rumble is February 1st. So
yeah.
We have a big break here. We have a two-month break with pay-per-views, with PLEs. But they're looking at, you know, they're considering Saturday Night's Main Event like a PLE-level show. It's on NBC. It's streaming on Peacock. You have a big world title match. That show's going to be retro heavy. If they could do it right, you know what? Everybody that has a world title needs to come out with the old version of the titles.
That would be cool. I would love that if they did.
Cody
that.
Should
probably
come
not,
out.
But
Cody should come with out
the wing
with,
gang,
with
wing,
the
winged eagle.
Gunther comes out with the big gold belt. The tag titles, you could do the old school tag titles. You could do something very unique here that people have been clamoring for. Guess what? Holiday season, you'll sell some of those. WWEshop.com, 25% off. Not an ad. I'm not doing an ad for them.
They were shilling. But, they were shilling a lot of that.
Oh my god! It's so much of it.
The ring. But, did you sell the ring advertisement? You made mention in our group chat.
That ring was covered.
How it was like.
It was a Turkish bazaar, with the ads on the walls and the ads in the rings and the ads on the corners and the lower third and oh my god! You know what? They're making money. NFL does it. The NBA does it. Everybody does it. Why can't they? AEW's, I mean, hey, they've done it. Not to this extent, but they've done it. Overall, really good show. Really, really good show. I enjoyed it. It was fun to watch. It was easy to watch. Ended at like 9:40. Perfect time, perfect length for this show. One more segment to do. Wrestling Observer Live here on Sports Byline. Stay tuned. Wrestling Observer Live here on Sports Byline. Final segment of the show. Guys, very WWE heavy show today. But that's where we're at. We had a big pay-per-view. A lot of good stuff happened on that show. We're going to talk about it. Also, a few things here for AEW. AEW has moved venues for Grand Slam Australia. They moved indoors. They moved from the stadium indoors. Capacity is around 13,000 people. I think they have shy of 10. I think it's like 9,000 seats or 7,000 seats that they've committed to. So it'll look good in that building. No problem there. Also, AEW announced Hook versus Nick Wayne at the Hammerstein Ballroom. Rampage was really good, by the way. Lucha heavy. On Rampage this week, Wayne said he didn't like being attacked by Hook, so he asked his father if he could have a match with in Hook's hometown. No word if it's Collision or Dynamite. Also, Dave Meltzer is reporting that Kenny Omega wants to take things slow before going full-time. I think that's very smart for Kenny. Kenny's currently set to return to the ring January 5th at Wrestle Dynasty. That week is going to be a big show. Between that, the Tokyo Dome, and Netflix. I had to sneeze. And we're progressing in the Continental Classic here. Shelton, 3 points. Kyle Fletcher, 3. Okada, 1. Daniel Garcia, 1. 0 for Mordos. 0 for Mark Briscoe. On the blue side, gold side, Claudio, 3. Brody King, 3. Will Ospreay, 3. Ricochet, 0. Juice, 0. And Darby Allin, 0. That's where we're
kudos
at,
on yeah. That Okada Garcia match on Collision. That was yeah. Really good.
Yeah, very good match. Very, very good match. Guys, that's it. We got to wrap up. But a lot of wrestling happening over the next couple of weeks. Send me your points. Send me your input on X at Andrew Zarian. And we'll be back next week with another Wrestling Observer Live. Take care.